a massive thank you to all the people that subscribed, shared, and got the message out there. It makes all this worth doing, pain-wise. On the last two videos, they're a bit like, well, all of the videos are a bit emotional in many, many ways, because it's so up and down, like all the mixed feelings. And you got to remember that all of this, all of the messages that I've come across and I've been describing to you, this hasn't been over years. This is all this that I've been describing to you is all things that happened from the night of the death, right the way up to the funeral. So we're talking 3 months. This is all stuff that's just like just blowing up. Can you imagine all them emotions mixed together all in 3 months? And then it's took 4 years to speak about it. It's really intense, and I don't expect you all to understand, like, but this is what this video, these videos are for, to just try and explain how it feels to lose somebody through an act of knife crime, or just in general. Like, for me, I can relate to the knife crime, because that's how I lost my brother. You know, we've talked over many different things to do with what's happened in the events of my brother. And, you know, today is talking about, like, how well do you know someone? How well do you know your loved ones? How much time do you think that you take to understand the people that brought you into this world, the people that you've grown up with, other than the fact that, oh, you stole my stuff, like, you know, like my clothes, that's my favorite t-shirt, my trainers, you know, just stuff like that. How well do you know someone? Because people put so much hate into people that are closer to them that they fail to realize just how much they would miss them until it actually happens. Whether it's murder or whether you just lose them. I didn't understand how much I didn't actually know. I mean, we're a very close family. When I say we're close, we do a lot of things together. But I didn't realise how much I didn't know about my big brother. And how much I did actually know. Until we decided that... well, we had no choice. The plans for the funeral are now in play. We've been given a date on when we're allowed to finally bury or cremate. We chose cremation because we're about that, you know. We don't like being buried. We like being cremated. It's just so much nicer that way, I believe. And it's just something that we do as a family. We've all, every one of us have been cremated, but we finally got the go ahead and a date on being able to lay my brother fully to rest. And that was a relief. But at the same time, that was a crazy moment, because from this point on, we know that there is no more. There's no more. Just memories. And they're just memories. And I say it like that because, like, we create so much negativity within our life and within our family pattern that we fail to take 2 seconds to step forward and just be like, I love you. And that really is important. You don't understand how important it is until you can no longer say I love you to the person. Like, visually, physically, the person is gone. And that's when you realise it. But unfortunately, it's too late by then. It's too late. But we get given this option of words we get to choose to say. And a lot of the time we choose negative words. And because of that, I'm left in a state where I can't take back anything that I've ever said to someone that I would never be able to say sorry to. Like, you can kiss your hand and throw it up to the sky and just assume that the person is above you, you know, or like they're always there and they can see it or they can feel it. Like, you wish and you hope to believe that's the case, but like, you know, deep down, where are you throwing that I'm sorry and that kiss? Where's that going? Because in your head, it's going to the person. it's too late. It's too late. So we got the whole family together, nieces, nephews, mum, obviously, you know, and we got all of the family, cousins, and we got all together in my mum's front room, which seems to be a lot of this negative stuff happened within my mum's front room, you know, and this is, like I said in a video once before, that it's so hard to sit in my mum's front room because it's like a shrine to my brother, and that's okay, like that's how she's coping, but it's hard to sit in there, you know, that like all you have is pictures on a wall in a front room that you should be relaxing in to watch TV or whatever, but you can't, because the obvious is just there, it's there staying, like, you know, I'm not here, I can't share this with you. And that might be just the way that I think, you know, like my mum sits in there and she reminisces, and she just looks at pictures on the wall. Like, I know that she is feeling the pain of not being able to just like tell him off. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, but that's what we're left with. And that's why my message is going out there. And so the whole family's in the front room and we're here to arrange the final send off for my brother, and there must have been about 15, 17 of us in that room, all having our say on what we think we know about someone so dear to us, you know, that you just don't know. And if I would have took like 5 minutes more out of my time asking different questions or just paying attention a little bit more, that I would have known this with ease. I mean, why wouldn't I? Like, people dedicate so much of their time giving it to people that don't deserve it. Like, how many people can sit there and say that the person they're most close with, or not most close with, the person they're most close with and a person that they're related to, when it comes down to it, how well do you know that person? Like, really, how well do you know that person? Like, because if you had to pick an outfit, the last outfit that you could possibly think of to put on the person that you love so much, what would you pick? Are you picking it because you think they would look good in that? Or are you picking it because you know for a fact that's their outfit? That's what they would like to spend their rest of their time in this world before they venture out to the next whatever it is. If that's the outfit you've got to stay in for forever, do you know for sure that that's what that person would pick? Like, we're picking things like favourite music. Do you know who or what the person you love the most favourite music is? Or do you just assume you know? Because when they hear a song, they turn it up and they're like, oh, this is my jam. Yeah? Or do you know for a fact that that's the song that that person truly loves? Because if you do, well done for you for taking the time to take note and pay attention to what that person really, really likes. Favourite colour, favourite outfit, favourite music. You know, like, what would be... the songs that you pick for the person you love the most, knowing that in spirit they could be there thinking, what did you play this for? Why did you pick that colour? You obviously didn't know me. So my message to everyone that does listen to this video, please turn to the person next to you or the people that you spend most of your time with, time that you could never get back. You dedicate something to people that you can never, ever get back again. And that's time. So it makes sense to understand and know the people that you have in your life fully, 100%. So just take the time, find out what their favorite music is, find out what their favorite color is. One, it'll make you stronger. Two, it'll make you wiser. And three, when it's truly needed, they can rely on you. And that's something that people don't really do anymore. They can't count on somebody else, you know? So just pay attention to what it is that that you, what you absorb within your life. Because if you cut out a bit of that negativity and filled it with positivity, I guarantee you, you'll feel loads better. You'll know your surroundings that little bit more, and you won't make stupid mistakes. So that's my message, like, because when it come down to sitting in the room and arranging my brother's funeral, I thought to myself, this is going to be fairly easy because we're super close, you know, like all of us know what's up. And then songs were being listed and I was like, that's not his favourite song. Like, he turned it up when he played it, and then they were like, my mum was like, his favourite colour's blue. And then like, we was like, nah, and it's red. And they're like, my mum was like, no, I'm telling you, it's blue because of this, blah, blah, blah. And do you know what it is? My mum might be right. His favourite colour might have been blue. But for me and like a couple of us in the family, his favourite colour was red. Now, we knew, and I think that the reason why my mum thinks it's blue is because he used to, Chelsea was his favourite football team. But I say to my mum, like, I've never really seen him in blue, like blue jeans, yeah, but like, if he was picking anything, it would be red. But like, I'm 100% sure it was red. She's 100% sure it's blue. So my mum buys blue flowers. We buy red flowers. Like, if we would have all took a little bit more time, then we could have, like, we really could have been able to make that whole experience just that little bit easier. So it really went to show just how much, despite how close we were, like, we was connected, like, but it makes you realise just how much you don't know the person that you're related to. You share blood. You share everything with this person. And you don't know. So just please pay attention to the people that you surround yourself with, especially the close ones, because they never know when you're going to need them, you know? And the other thing with arranging the funeral, and it was always a hard one, because there's so many boys in my family, and we all had such a major part to play within the funeral that, you know, the choice of coffin, that was another hard one. Like, that was, like, really hard because, you know, we always trying to think of things he used to say, like, you ain't got any change on you, have you? So we was like, oh, let's put, like, loads of change all over the coffin, you know? And then that was like, nah, that would just look stupid. And then we ended up like, let's have a red coffin. No, his favourite colour was blue. And it's like, so that didn't work either. And it was just the little things that within this time, and even though, like, this was one of the saddest times that we could have gone through, like, towards the end of the journey of saying farewell for the final time, like that last arrangements, it come with some peace because he's no longer going to be in the morgue, which is a really nice place, but it's not a place I'd want him to stay forever, you know? Like, that. This is, now we're arranging a funeral and we're sorting the coffin out, which we ended up having, like, photographs, like, put all over the coffin. So we had photographs of all of us, his kids, and do you know what? It was absolutely beautiful, like, I can't explain to you, but there'll be pictures attached to this that will show you, like, how nice it actually was. And that was something that we automatically all agreed on when someone just spoke up about it. And it was just like, yeah, do you know what? Family is us. We're family. And if that was me, I would have wanted the same thing. And, like, I didn't realise on some of the other bits and pieces that how hard it was going to be. Like, I'm his brother, right? Like, he's only got one brother, that's me. So it's automatically that I'm definitely going to be carrying the coffin. I'm carrying my brother down the aisle. Is it an aisle? Like, I'm carrying him. It's just a fact. It's a must. the arguments that come from that, where everyone felt like they were entitled to do something that they didn't really have the rights to do. My nephews have full rights to be able to join in carrying their uncle down the walkway, the aisle, that last stretch of being able to feel for the last time, like. And then I had my cousins, they felt like they was entitled to carry my brother too. And there was arguments between which one of them gets to carry my brother. And I thought it was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting that I had to be in a position where I had to feel like it was for lack of argument, for what should have been really easy decision to make, to step away from carrying my brother so this argument can stop, because I couldn't take no more. I couldn't take no more arguments. I couldn't take no more decisions. I'm at boiling point, and I'm in a position where I'm about to explode, but the people I will be attacking would be my family. And if I would have got going, then there would have been some damage. And I was no way was I going to let what happened to my brother affect our family so we fall apart. So I stepped back. The only people that had the rights to carry my brother down that aisle would have been his sons, if they were tall enough, my nephews and me. So I stepped back from it. And I decided that from looking at my nephews, that they were too small to carry their dad down the aisle. So I told them that I will walk down the aisle with them in front of their dad, and we will walk them in. So this is what I'm saying. When somebody does commit a crime as deep as murder, it's not just something that you hear on the news for 2 seconds. Oh, a man got stabbed, a kid got stabbed, a girl stabbed. Like, it's like on the news for like 10 seconds, you'll hear that, and then that's it. You don't hear of anything else. 6-7 months down the line, you'll go, person's been arrested for blah blah blah. And then 4-5 months down the line, you'll get, like, unless if you're reading this stuff, if you're following it, you will only see this, only see it if you're following it. Because when someone gets murdered, it's on the TV. When they find someone, it's in the newspaper. When they sentence someone, it's in the small part of the newspaper, unless it's a younger person. And then it gets blown up because that's today's news. And that's all these people, they care about. And that's something that I learned along the way, that the news is not here to help people understand about people's pain and what's going on within society and why we as humans are destroying our world with no effort whatsoever. The news is there just to show you doubt in how your day is. Like, you'll be happy, you'll turn on the news, and then something you know, or someone you know, or you hear something, and you think to yourself, fuck, man, that's really ruined my day. I used to watch the news, I used to read the newspapers, and it, like I said in one of these vids before that, that ever since that's happened, I've never really read any newspapers since, other than anything that's written in about my brother or like, you know, just sentencing or anything like that. Unless I proofread it or accept it before, i.e. if I've done anything with the newspaper, then it's proofread before it goes in, because I will not accept the bullshit sometimes that gets said within articles when I know different firsthand. So I tend not to pay too much attention to it. And you guys shouldn't either. Like, you know, it's, there's so much bullshit when it comes to media, especially social media, you know, that people take things the wrong way. It creates a lot of problems, and it's causing devastating effects. Like I said, this is 3 months, 3 months from night of murder to like coming up to the funeral, arranging funerals of non-stop every single day of just pure pain and agony and borderline explosion of something that you might not come back from, because you're bubbling, but you've got to stay strong and you've got to keep it all together. But it's so hard because people around you are so selfish, because they feel like they've got the right to say everything there is about everything. And it's not like that. You have to come together at a time like this and just show that you did pay enough attention to the person that you are saying goodbye to be able to share and give the best send-off that you could possibly give. And I say this because when my brother was alive, he'd walk down the street and a lot of people would say hi, you know, and they knew him. The hardest part about that is he might have walked down the road and seen 10 people and they've all said hello, but actually within his life, no one was relevant. No one made themselves relevant to show him that he had a support bubble there that would help him get through whatever. If you are, when you leave this world and you are a spirit, just saying, and you get to look back at the devastation that's left there and the people that are upset afterwards, and you realise just how many people genuinely cared, you would have probably appreciated your life a little bit more. Because I know that my brother did not realise he would have over 300 people turn up to his funeral. I know for a fact that he would not have believed if someone told him before he had died that 300 people plus are going to turn up to your funeral to see you off, that actually cared, he wouldn't have believed. He wouldn't have believed, because he went through his life just alone. Now, if 100 of them people that turned up to the funeral give that 5-second text message, people spend hours and hours on social media, on the internet, just looking at bullshit, like nothing. If you would have took 5 minutes, just one text message, just saying, you're right, how you doing? Just to show, just 100 people from that 300 people, he might have been able to step away from it all. He might still be here today. Family's always going to support family, right? So you tend to overlook it and just think that you're being nosy, that you have got too much, you've got too much to say, just get your nose out of my life. But friends, you tend to let in a little bit more than you do family sometimes, and you call people bro, and you call people like, yeah, you're my family, you know, you're always there for me, you got my back, you'll ride or die. But when it really matters, is when it's too late. People come out of the woodworks. I loved your brother. He was a good friend of mine. I would have done anything for him. Can you imagine the difference that would have made to my brother's life if you would have just told him that yourself? If you didn't just think about it, you just actually told the person themselves when they were alive. It's that whole, like, if you yawn, I yawn. You know, people pick and choose love, and a lot of it is fake. A lot of stuff is fake love. But they'll go through life giving the only thing that they can't get back, and that's time, away to fake love, fake friends, fake people. When can you imagine if you gave that, you just stepped back, figured out who was worth it and who isn't, and then gave 100% real to the real, how much different your life would be. The way that you think would be different, the way that you act would be different, the circles you move would be different. But because you think that what you're doing is right for that person, but that person's just being able to manipulate you to do something that you wouldn't normally do, that leads you to commit something that you wouldn't normally do. This has definitely been the hardest time of my life. The saddest. And I lost so much of myself trying to keep everybody else normal, sane in this whole trauma that I forgot about myself. Memories I had stored, gone. Things I remember, the smells, everything, gone. I can't remember the things I really needed to remember about my brother, because everything's been replaced with all of this pain, and it's changed me. It's changed the way I think. It's changed the way I see things. It's changed the way I explain things, and it's definitely 100% changed the way that I store things mentally, because nothing is the same. I'm not the same. I feel lost in a world I know. I'm also a stranger. To the things. And to people. Who I've had and have in my life. It's opened my eyes to show me that a lot of the people that I had in my life at the time before my brother and through this whole ordeal, that were just fake nobodies with a desire to just suck the life out of you of what they can get, and then once they get it, they move on to the next thing. Well, when I was at my lowest with this whole point, all you leeches got everything that you needed, because every single one of you's fucked off. But that's cool, because it just makes me realise that you wasn't destined to be there forever. And you was just a stepping stone in my life to be able to push me on to bigger and better. So I thank you all for sticking around just to be nosy fuckers about my pain. And then when you found out everything you needed to know and you sucked everything from me at that time, you moved on. Good for you. Good for you. I'm not digging out people. I can assure you that I'm not digging people out. But what I am saying is that people that you spend so much time with naturally are just not worth your time. They're just not worth it. And I've given away so much time to people that just don't deserve it, that I feel robbed of my life. But that's cool, because the one thing I can take from this is living. You know, I appreciate life now, where before I didn't. I used to be like, oh, if I die, I die. You know, when I'm out committing my crimes myself, like before I'd settled down and I'd got my life straight, I was bad. You know, I was hurting people left, right and centre, and I'd done my fair share of crime to be able to have people remember the things that I've done forever. And, you know, to people that I have hurt along the way, physically, I am sorry for the actions that I created at that point in my life. I felt like it was justified, but now I step back and I realize that, justified or not, it's not the answer. It is not the answer. You know, someone turned around and told me that it takes a bigger person to walk away. And when you can't walk away, I get it. You have to stand and fight. I get it. And I would do just that still today. If I couldn't walk away and I had to deal with it, I would have to deal with it by any means necessary. But what I'm saying is that if you have a chance to walk away, to be able to live for tomorrow, to not put your family through this, my advice to you is just walk away. Because you, whether the people respect you for that or not, in your heart, you can respect yourself. And that's what's important. Because so many people go through life not respecting themselves, but expect respect back. That it's just not going to happen. Because you can get a lot of respect, but you're not going to appreciate it. Because the things that you need to have inside you to accept positive, you have to accept yourself. And if you, and you know, for every person out there that's committing the most horriblest acts like there is going, you know that you lay there at night time and you think about this. At some point you sit there and you think about it. Because I know I do. Love the person that's next to you. Hold the person that's in front of you. Be honest, be truthful. And don't let a day go by where you're full of hate and negativity. Because you have just wasted life. Stay positive, guys. I know this is a mixed match today of different things, and I had a different way of that I was going to explain to you about the funeral, but this just come out the way it is, and I prefer it more so this way because it's natural. It's not scripted. It's not nothing. It's just raw, and that's how I like to be with you guys, is just raw, and for you to fully understand that, you know, you have to be fully open in things like this, because how do you expect people to stand up and pay attention to you and accept what you're saying if you can't be true with your feelings? Thank you. Thank you for everyone following. Thank you for everyone subscribing. And thank you for sharing this message, all of my messages on my channel, because for those that are really following my story and they're helping me put it out there, you guys are saving lives. And I've got nothing but real, real respect for you guys. Thank you.